It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Jason Wilde, even when he doesn't do his own show, he comes on this show. You're a better man than I.
But don't tell Paula.
Okay, I won't. I don't know how that goes.
She always gets after me for working when I'm not supposed to be working. But I'm sitting watching the UW volleyball camps. She's working on serving with about 100 other girls. So I'm just sitting here dodging volleyball. So I got time
for
you, my friend.
Who knew college volleyball, women's college volleyball, become so huge? It's only gonna get
feeling.
Bigger.
Yeah, I had a feeling. I covered Badger volleyball from 97 through 02. They had a couple of teams that came close to going to the Final Four. They had one team that did go to the Final Four. John Cook was the coach here at the
right before he went to Nebraska, right?
Bailed yeah, on. Correct. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was talking with Kelly Sheffield this morning, and they got a cook in here. I know they didn't get as far as they wanted to last year, but they won the title a few years ago, and it's pretty cool. I got to say, I was telling Sydney yesterday, she was learning different setting techniques from Lauren Carlini. And I said, you know, this is like having Steph Curry give you pointers on your three-point shot.
That's true. Correct.
She's the starting center for the U.S. Olympic team. That's kind of a big deal. So pretty neat to be here. But that's not why you called.
Every year, the assumption is that they're going to make the Final Four. That's the standard. You make the Final Four every year. The only standard higher of any team at Wisconsin I'm aware of would be the women's hockey team, which you assume they're going to win at the championship every year and hope maybe they'll have an unbeaten and be a legendary team. But anyway, all right, I'm thinking I need to have you talk about the defense for me because I have less than high expectations for certain players, like the number one pick from Iowa. But then I think last year, they were sixth in yards given up, which is huge, or points given up, excuse me. So there have to be things they're doing better than I'm giving them credit for. Like, you can't be sixth in points given up unless something's going
right,
not just average, going well.
And fifth in total defense, too.
Yes.
Like they were,
so it's both.
I mean, statistically, they were really good. Now, again, not everybody plays the same teams, and I like to joke that by playing the AFC South, they were playing the Fox River Classic Conference with, you know, DePere and Ashwaubenon, et cetera, right down the road. And obviously that's an overstatement, but there were some not very good teams in that division. There were some not very good teams around the league, and if you get enough of them on your schedule, it certainly helps your statistics.
Yeah,
but
say they were eighth or seventh. They put them a couple spots lower.
Like,
it's still pretty good.
Right.
What's the best thing?
Exactly.
What was the best thing about the defense last year that I need to focus on more?
So I feel like they did a lot of things well, and then a couple things they did really poorly, right? I mean, you look at their pass rush, and talk about misleading statistics. I think they finished tied for eighth in the NFL in sacks. But they came like roughly half of those sacks. I think they finished with 41, maybe. Maybe it's 45, but like roughly half came like three games.
Okay.
And so that to me, that they all know that their pass rush was insufficient. Now, so that's the number one thing that has to get better. As far as the things they did well defensively, they took the ball away better. They were much better on third down. They improved across the board in just about every category from the final Joe Barry year. And I know you love yourself some Joe Barry, but it was clearly a significant upgrade. Now, that said, the pass rush, the silver lining of their pass rush being so crummy is that they basically had to adjust on the fly. They didn't end up running a lot of the defense that they planned on running when they hired Jeff Hafley. And I've said it a million times, the mark to me of a really good coach is not, his scheme is great, he does this, he does that. It's what do you do when things are not, what's not working, and how do you adjust your personnel to make it work? And so he ran a lot of what they call simulated blitzes, simulated pressures, where they would still bring four, but they would drop somebody out and bring someone else, a corner or a safety or a linebacker. And now, because they did that when they weren't intending to, if their front four can rush the way, say, Phillies does, or some of the other teams do, then you've added a piece to your toolbox of, okay, we're going to try and get pressure with these four as frequently as we can. But then if we're having a game where they're picking it up or we need to try something different, we've now got the ability, and we've seen it, we've proven it, we can send guys and they're going to be effective. And so that, to me, is the one silver lining of them being so crappy pass rush-wise overall. But to your point about Lucas Van Ness, and I would still say, despite his Pro Bowl selection, Rashawn Gary, they got to be better. Kenny Clark's got to be better. Devontae Wyatt, you know, the way he started, you looked at him and were like, okay, I'm starting to see finally why they picked this guy in the first round. And then he hurts his ankle, and then even when he comes back, he's not very good. And then he kind of got things cooking a little bit toward the end, and then he still wasn't good enough. So I'm really curious to see what that group, more than any other, looks like, because I feel like on defense, the linebackers, I still am a Quay Walker believer. I know there's a lot of doubters. We all agree that Edger and Cooper looks like he is special. And then the corners, obviously there's a concern with depth. I think the three they have, I feel pretty good about. That are their top three. Not great about them, but pretty good. After that, I'd be scared you-know-what-less if I was the Packers. So, you know, whether or not those guys are good enough, that's the other question on the defensive side of the ball. But then they got a bunch of really good safeties and, of course, one of the best in the game in Xavier McKinney.
The other thing, when I think about, like, the defense, that are we going to see anything different in terms of their approach? Like, now it's his second year, so they're going to blitz more, they're going to blitz less, they're going to what?
Yes. I don't know what it's going to be, but Jeff Hafley had a great quote when we talked to him during the offseason program, where he basically said, look, yeah, we did a lot of really good things last year, and guess what? Everyone in the league saw the really good things we did, and that is going to be their focus. So we have to do things differently. Now, again, I don't want to keep harping on this, but to me, the biggest thing is, can you generate pressure with your front four? Because when you can do that and you're using, you know, simulated pressures, blitzes, et cetera, you get to choose when you're using them, as opposed to feeling like you have to use them because otherwise you're not going to get any pressure on the quarterback whatsoever. So I do think you're going to see lots of different wrinkles. I think Jeff Hafley believes very strongly in you can't keep just doing what you're doing, as opposed to some other coaches who, you know, I remember John Gruden saying this. I remember being at his, like, coach's breakfast many, many years ago at the NFL meetings, where he said, we do what we do, and we're going to make other people adjust to us. I just don't think that works. I think in this day and age, in this league, you can't get away with that. You have to be constantly evolving, and you certainly have the things that you believe in the most, and those are your core tenets of what you do defensively. But you have to be able to change things up because offenses are too well designed now.
I have said before, and it will certainly be repeated if it doesn't happen, that I have Edger and Cooper in the Packer Hall of Fame, and I do because he was, as a rookie, 2-time Defensive Player of the Week, and I don't know where I have to look to find any other Packer in the history of the team that was Defensive Player of the Week twice as a rookie. Somebody suggested Willie Buchanan, which is close to the Don Hutson era, but
that's possible. But, like, even if you look at some of their best players, like, I'm not sure how often Clay Matthews was
as a rookie
Defensive Player of the Week as a rookie.
Yeah.
Right? Obviously Charles Woodson wasn't here as a rookie, but, like, they have a bunch of guys. Like, it was, let's be honest, they have a lot of really good defensive players over the time I've covered this team. Going back to Reggie and Leroy Butler, et cetera. And it's not like it's something that they won regularly even with veteran players.
Right.
Like, it's hard to do that. You have to have a really big game that week to win that.
And he didn't play that much, right?
Right. And look, one of the things about, and Edgerrin Cooper talked to us about it, I have him on Channel 3000 today as number five on my list of most important Packers.
Number five?
Undeniably. Yeah.
Okay.
Number five. You know, the quarterback, the running back, the safety who makes it all go.
I'm okay with five.
And a specific tight end that I think is really important to what they do are going to be the top four.
Better be
Tucker. See what order they're in. It's Ben Sims. Big surprise one. The thing about
Cooper, I thought maybe you were going to try to go Musgrave on people, and I was hoping
no. He was 20. Yeah, he did make the list. I put
That's
him at
fine.
20 because I do think, and I wrote this in my tight end preview today, like I do think that that is a group that if they have Musgrave and Kraft at full strength, Kraft played 85% of the snaps last year. First of all, that's crazy. Second of all, the whole idea of drafting them both was so you could run a bunch of 12 personnel with two tight ends on the field and eat teams up because they wouldn't be able to match up with them. And Luke Musgrave has been, you know, constantly hurt going back to his final year at Oregon State. But the thing about Cooper is he missed three games with a hamstring injury late in the year. And all these young guys, I was talking to Evan Williams about this too, all these young guys, that first year, they don't really know all the things they need to do to keep their bodies in the right spot, and more importantly, how to deal with injuries as they create issues for them. And so if Edgerrin Cooper also figures out that piece of it, and he can stay on the field, and he makes sure that he's not, you know, dehydrated or whatever makes him more susceptible to a hamstring pull like he had last year, that's gives them three more opportunities to be a field tilting player for them.
All right. How do I find out if there are other rookies that have been, I guess I have to go through the defensive player of the week, or do I have to call the Packers?
There? Yeah. I'll look that up for you. I have not investigated that because I just thought he was special enough that I didn't necessarily need to compare him to how many times other rookies did that, but it's a really good, it's an interesting stat. I will, I'll do the research on that. By the way, as someone, how often do you get to go to Marquette practice?
I never go. I could go every day if I wanted. I've made it clear for many years. No interest how somebody plays in practice. None. And I don't want to be swayed in any way. All I care about is what they do in the games. Now, I hear people tell me about certain players. That's not true. I did go see Dwayne Wade in practice. Only because Tom Crean said yesterday in practice he scored 26 straight points. I played him in a little game of horse. We didn't finish.
All right, well, then you're not going to be able to help me with my question, though. My question is, watching camp, they don't use whistles anymore. They use like a electric thing, like a electronic thing that they push a button, and it sounds like a whistle, but no one's actually blowing a whistle.
Good.
Which I find fascinating.
AI, let's go. I did want to ask you about training camp. It's like, what, a week away or what?
Yeah. Week from today.
Okay, has training camp become as meaningless in some ways as all the other workouts they have in terms of there's no contact or what's the appropriate way to view training camp now?
It's the most important of all the off-season outside of the regular season times of the year, obviously. There is contact. There are pads. There is no tackling to the ground, so it's not live tackling. There is the new invention in recent years. Well, I shouldn't say it was an invention in recent years, but it's been popularized and become much more commonplace in recent years. And that, of course, is the joint practice, which I believe, as you have said many times, has now become the new preseason game because your quarterbacks can't get hit, so you can actually have your starting quarterback participate with very little risk to him as opposed to playing him in a preseason game. That said, it's still not nearly as productive as the old days, as I like to say, back in the 90s and 2000s. But it's still, it's really important. And who it's most important for, like, here's one of the things the competition thing is not it anymore. Like, there used to be a time. Now, there'll be a competition left tackle. There'll be some other competitions. But there were times when I would come to training camp, and there were five or six training camp battles. That's not the case. You pretty much know who your guys are before you get to camp. And frankly, I think the left tackle competition is a little bit bogus.
I'm in that club. I lead that club. So, not only a little bogus, totally bogus. We both know who's going to be the starter at left tackle. Tell the world. Rashid Walker, and there's no contest going on.
Well, I would say this. We both know who should be the starting left tackle. If they decide to start, like, let's say it's a dead heat, and they give the job to Jordan Morgan.
It can't be a dead heat.
I don't know.
All right.
And I'm not willing to say he's definitely going to be, but I think he definitely should be, put it that way.
And Morgan, he'll be the starter next year. Walker's done after this year.
That's what I would do, yes. And he's going to play this year. Somebody's going to get hurt. So then no one's going to, they're not all five guys are not going to start all 17
And he
games.
Can play multiple positions, right?
He can play the guard spots. He could play both tackle spots. If he's the whole idea of drafting guys that are left tackles is they're good. They should be good enough to play anywhere other than center.
Now the question is, how early will they say the battle for left tackle is over?
Not as early as last year when they basically determined it was over before it started.
I look forward for when you tell us it's over.
Yeah, I think Matt LaFleur will be the one that tells me, and then I'll tell you.
I think you might make your vote before he does on this one. That's my prediction.
I made votes, but I can't give you the decision. Put that right. You to do that. That's
no,
not my
you
thing.
Can't make his decision, but you can say, listening audience on Wilde and Tausch, he's the starting left tackle. I'm not sure when the announcement will be made by the head coach, but what I'm seeing in all my years of following this team tells me it's over. I look forward to that.
All right.
Will you do that?
You'll be the first one I tell.
No,
yeah,
you did.
I won't
I'm
even
on
do
your
it on
show.
Our show. I'll do it. I'll do it with you.
Oh, Tausch will do it.
Yeah,
well, then Tausch will do it. One of you will do it. And you should do it on
sure
your show.
Yeah, there's more people that listen.
That's correct. Thanks.
Take care, Homer. Be good.
Truth is easy when you're old. Next.